This morning, I want to go to the book of Micah, chapter number 7. We're going to go back and we're going to complete something that we started a couple of weeks ago. Micah, chapter number 7. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Let's just go to verse number 18. Micah chapter number 7 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Praise God. Amen. And so we want to go back and review and explore. We did a couple of weeks ago. We're going to talk about, amen, another chance. Another chance. Amen. I want the Lord to help us here today. Praise God. Would you just put your Bibles down and would you ask the Lord to help us here today? God, we love you. We're so thankful for your word and your spirit. We're so thankful, Lord, for all that you do for us, for your help. God, for the word that you have blessed us with. God, that you have left unto us for us to be able to partake of, to see, God, that would help us. I pray, God, that your spirit, Lord Jesus, would anoint this word one more time this morning. That the anointing and the presence of God would come down as a witness of your word into this house today. That the favor of God would be upon us, and the conviction and the power of the Spirit would draw us, Lord. We love you and we thank you and we give you glory and honor. And we magnify your wonderful, majestic, magnificent name. Oh, we bless you today, Jesus. We bless you today, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. It does not take very much from anybody to be able to go about their life, to look outside, inside, the things that are around, and be able to say, describe, and to acknowledge that we do have an awesome God. What an awesome God. Amen. A God that we can look unto, that we know, that has created the heavens and the earth, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and he didn't need anything to do it with. He just simply said, as in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, said that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke it and it happened. I want you to know that Hebrews chapter number 13 also says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that the power that God possessed upon day one of earth, when he was able to speak the world into existence, he has that same power, amen, to be able to look into our lives and to speak into our lives what is, whatever is necessary to get us to the next level of life. Praise God. His power has not diminished, amen, and he has not changed. Praise God. As a matter of fact, amen, the things that have changed is simply because that man and our abilities to our frequencies to operate against the will of God, that we mess up the will of God in our life by choices, and God gives us choices, even as he gave Adam. When he put Adam in the garden that he created and told him, he said, "You can do anything that you want to here, but this one tree, I'm going to say that you cannot partake of it. And in the day that you do partake of it, you shall surely die." And so the judgment may have seemed a little bit harsh, but I feel personally that the way that God did it is, look, I'm going to give you thousands upon thousands of things to do. And I'm just going to tell you one thing that you cannot do, and I'm going to put such stringent judgment upon it that you shouldn't even look towards it. And you just look at everything else that is out there and that is available for you. Praise God. And we know that that Adam and Eve messed up and that they did partake of that tree. And we can look at that and we can say the judgments of God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. But yet when we read to understand the mind of God, the Bible says that the Lord put them out so that they that he put forth his hand and pushed them out or drove them out of the garden so that they would not partake of the tree of life. You understand that they could partake of the tree of life before that. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they weren't supposed to partake of. But then now they cannot partake of the tree of life. Amen. And it was simply that they should eat it in their fallen condition and remain forever in that condition. And so it was the mercies of God that pushed them away so that they would be able to experience another chance. And God gave them another chance. I understand and know that they had to work and that there was sweat and there was the thorns of the ground and there was all of those other things, but they were given a chance. And we see that from Genesis to Revelations that there was always another chance. As a matter of fact, when Cain did what he did against Abel, amen, and the Lord asked him, he said, "Why are you so upset? Why are you so mad?" And Cain began to explain unto him. The Lord said, look, he said it like this. He said, if you would do well, shall you not be accepted? And so the Lord said, look, I'm going to give you another chance to do well. And if you do well, I'll accept it. The Lord told him, he said, I will accept it. And obviously Cain could not do that because that his anger surpassed the tug of God. God pulling upon him to do right, to get another chance. And his anger surpassed all of that. And it just causes us to understand that when that being angry possesses the ability to cause us to look past and over the opportunities that God presents unto us. God comes to us in mercy and in love, and he says, look, if you just, and sometimes because of our current situation, we look at it and say, you know what, you're here to do nothing but judge. You know, it's just like the child that gets in trouble with his parent, and the parent says, look, now this is how, and they just harden up because they feel like that's all they're seeing, and there's the judgment of the parent, and said, look, if you just do this, we can change all of this. And this is the way that it was with God concerning Cain. And so he told Cain, he said, look, he said, I did not accept that, but if you would do well, I will accept it. And we know that Cain chose not to do that. Amen. Praise God. And so we see that this God of another chance is explained throughout all of the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. We see another chance given unto many, many people within the Bible. We saw another chance with Samson. We saw another chance with Jonah. We saw another chance with Peter and others. And the Bible said in the book of Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. The mercies of God give us new opportunities and new chances every day. You may have messed up yesterday. You may not have done what you should have yesterday. But God said, let's start today off completely different. Psalms chapter number 37. Bible said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. Amen. You may mess up, but the Lord is speaking. He said, I'm not just going to throw you away because that you've messed up. Amen. Because that you messed up, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to pick you up, and we're going to try this again. Praise God. Thank God for the mercies of God. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for those mercies. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. And so today I want to take you into the second half of this. And if we were to go into the book of Mark, I want to walk with you for just a few moments of time through the life and the times of Christ. And we're not going to delve into all of it, but I want to pick one little subject out of it. And I want to show you something there. And so in the book of Mark, chapter number 1, the Bible says that the Lord was there, the Lord Jesus was there in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum would become his adopted city, born in Bethlehem of Nazareth. But he goes and he makes Capernaum his city, his town. And the word Capernaum just simply means a comfortable village. And it is interesting that the Comforter would come visit a comfortable village. Because you see, oftentimes, the things that are perceived to be comfort are not necessarily comfort. It's not necessarily comfort. That's not really the reality. Such as, let me explain it to you, that you can feel comfortable in life, but yet be completely stressed out. Simply because you have learned to adapt to the situation and the environment that you are living in. And you can say, well, I don't feel pressured. I don't feel overwhelmed. I don't feel at such need. And it is because that we have adapted to our circumstances, that we have learned how to manipulate. We have learned how to manage. We have learned how to make ends meet. We have learned how to fix it. We have learned how to look past it, beyond it. We have even learned how to expect it. It's just the expected norm. And the expected norm becomes a new realm of comfort. And it's beyond the expected norm that we don't feel exactly comfortable. And this is the way that Capernaum was. It was known as a comfortable village, but I'm going to show you just how uncomfortable Capernaum really was. Because it is in Mark chapter number 1 that the Lord would go down into Capernaum. And the Bible teaches us that on the first Sabbath ministry in Capernaum, that Jesus is there and that he begins to teach in the synagogues. And what had become normal was that there was an individual there that did not necessarily, a couple of things could be here. Number one, he could have been a regular there and undisturbed in his capacity or in his realm of life. That could be number one. Number two, it could have been a new individual there that had come and he begins to act out. But what we see is a man that is possessed with a devil. And so this man that is possessed with a devil becomes agitated, becomes riled up, and begins to confront Jesus. And Jesus would look at him and begin to discuss, and this individual speaking through by the enemy would say, I know who you are. And Jesus would rebuke him and say, hold your peace. And he would cast the devil out of him. And so what I want to show here, first of all, is that in Capernaum, and this is not just one time and one time only, but in Capernaum, in this comfortable village, we have people that are motivated, that are obsessed, that are possessed, amen, that are oppressed by demonic presence. There is a demonic presence that is in Capernaum that people have learned how to function with and to live with. Amen. Whether they just ignore them, sidestep them, go around them or whatever, there is a demonic presence that is in Capernaum. And Jesus comes this day and he sees this one and he casts the demon out of this individual. Praise God. Now, somewhere between Mark 1 and Mark 2, the Bible would we would come to the conclusion that Jesus left Capernaum. Because in Mark chapter number 2, it starts off and the Bible says that again, amen, Jesus, that he entered into Capernaum. And so Jesus goes back. Number one, it's his home city now. And so that's one reason why. But the Bible says that he goes back to Capernaum. And so there in Capernaum, he goes about, and the Bible says that after several days, so he's been in Capernaum, and obviously wherever he is at, there is something that is happening, there are things that are changing, there are people that are being healed, there are people that are being touched, simply because the Bible says that if every one of the miracles that Jesus had performed had been written into the books, amen, that the libraries would not be able to contain all of the books of the miracles that he had done. And so I don't see any idle time that he is sitting around not doing anything. But after several days, we find Jesus in this house. And in this house, there are a lot of people. You know why there's a lot of people? Because they heard that Jesus was there. And when they heard that Jesus is there, it's not like me saying, well, I heard that Brother Gavin's cousin was at his house. And that's okay. No, there was something different about Jesus. When they heard, they said, look, he's over there. I think we ought to go over there, because everywhere that this man goes, he's being touched. Somebody's being touched. Somebody's being healed. Something's happening. And so they said, I heard that Jesus is over at this house. We got to go. And so everybody went to this house, to the place that there was no room inside of it, and people were standing on the outside. And in the process of all of this, somebody else heard that Jesus was at this house, and they understanding what they have heard about what Jesus has been capable of doing, they go to their friend who is lame of the palsy, and they tell their friend, they say, you know what, we need to get you in the presence of Jesus, because I've been hearing that lame men are being touched by Jesus, and I've heard that all kinds of sickness is being healed by Jesus, and I think that Jesus can heal your sickness as well. And so they picked him up, because that he couldn't walk, they picked him up and they took him to the house. But they had a problem. When they got to the house is completely surrounded and nobody can get in and nobody's coming out, obviously. And so they're thinking, well, we just wasted our time. They said, oh, no. I see something that's not occupied, and that's the roof. And so they took him up on the roof and they began to peel back the shingles and the thatch of the roof. And they opened up a hole that was large enough that they was able to lower their friend down in a sheet unto the man, Jesus, that was in there. And so when they get Jesus down, when they get this man down in there, the Lord looks at him and he says, friend, your sins be forgiven. And people got upset with that. And they said, well, who can forgive sins but Jesus, but God? And so the Lord said, well, let me ask you a question. Is it easier to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk, or to say your sins be forgiven? But so that you might know that the Son of Man, amen, has the power to do all these things. He looked at the man that was lame and he said, I say unto you, amen, your sins are forgive it. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man stood up, took up his bed, and he walked out of the place. And so so there's all kinds of people in here that see that. And obviously there's tons of other people that are there that get touched by Jesus in that situation. Amen. But we don't have to go very further in the Bible. And we would see that Jesus goes over to Peter's mother's house, or to Peter's house. And so his mother-in-law is in there and she is sick. And so Jesus goes in and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then the Bible says it like this, that there was an entire group of people that were out about the door that were gathered there. And so there are
mass healings right outside of Peter's house. Not only did he touch Peter's mother-in-law inside, but he touched the mass, amen, that was surrounding the house, and he healed all of them as well. Amen. We wouldn't understand and know that Jesus went out and that he did other things, and he comes back again. And when he comes back again, there is a Roman centurion servant. Amen. There's a Roman centurion that comes to Jesus at Capernaum, and he approaches Jesus. Why? Because he's heard some good things about him. And so he approaches Jesus and he says, my servant is laying at the point of death. Would you come and would you heal him? And the Lord said, well, you can take me there. And he said, I'm a man of authority, and I say come, and they come, go, and they go. He said, if you just speak the word, I'll know it. And the Lord looked at him. He said, I've not seen so much faith in all of Israel, in everywhere. And so he spoke the word, amen, and the Spirit went forth in Capernaum unto that house, and Jesus healed that man of his sickness. Chapters began to progress through, and there is another situation. By the name of Jairus, and he comes to Jesus, and he is there, and he says, look, he said, Lord, he said, my daughter is laying on her deathbed. And Jesus goes there in Capernaum, goes to his house. Well, she dies, and so she's dead. Well, Jesus just looks at this dead daughter and raises her up from the dead there in Capernaum. Amen. Disciples would begin to argue in Capernaum about who was the greatest. And Jesus taught, amen, among the disciples and others on humility. It was there in the temple that they were asked in Capernaum concerning their tax. And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, look, he said, why don't you go out and just go fishing? And when you catch a fish, I want you to take the fish up and open his mouth. And there's going to be enough money in that mouth to pay for your taxes and my taxes. And that happened in Capernaum. Amen. And so in Capernaum, we have the Bread of Life sermon directly after feeding the 5,000. Amen. They came down. And so there are miracles after miracles after miracle after miracle that transpire in Capernaum. As a matter of fact, if you were to go to the book of Matthew in chapter number 11, you would see that Jesus performed more miracles in Capernaum than any other single town in all of his life. And in verse number 23, he said, thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, for the mighty works which have been done in thee, if they had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the days of judgment than for thee. And so Jesus let us in on a little, he gave us some insight, and he said, there has been miracle after miracle after miracle that has transpired here in Capernaum. And what I see is that there are still lots and lots of miracles that could be had. And I've come back and I've come back and I've come back. I have even lived among you, and there are still needs that are here, and there are still people here that are saying that living with their needs and living in their issues and their problems. Amen. They're still going to physicians, still going to psychiatrists, still suffering their problems, still suffering from all of these things. When I have been here, amen, again and again and again and again, giving you so many opportunities in life to have it. You know why the man with the head of the palsy, you know why he got healed? Somebody heard it, but it wasn't good enough. Somebody said, I'm going to use this opportunity to get in the presence of Jesus. And they got him in the presence of Jesus, and he was healed. And you want to know the way that I feel about it? Hey, man, is being life-changed and completely different. And walking and saying, I'm not the same person that I used to be. He probably went in Capernaum and told somebody else, you know who I am, don't you? I used to be that paralyzed man. I used to be that man that everybody had to carry around. But look at me today. I'm not. Somebody said, how did that happen? How tell you how it happened. Jesus Christ, if you can get in his presence, if you can get around him, you're not going to leave the same. And some may have said, I'm going to go get in the presence of Jesus. Others may have said, well, I just don't know about that. But after story after story after story, the ones that said, I don't know about that, they finally picked up their bed. In other words, their problem, their issue, and they got in the presence of Jesus. Maybe it took the story of Jairus' daughter. Maybe it took the story of the Roman centurion's servant. Whatever story it was, but it convinced somebody. And somebody may have been looking around and said, man, I missed it. I missed it. He's not. Where's Jesus at? Well, he's not here. He went over to Bethany. He's not here. He went over to Gadara. He's not here. And somebody could say, you know what? I missed it. I had a golden opportunity. I could have done it. I could have been healed, but I missed it. But then all of a sudden somebody said, hey, did you hear Jesus is back in town? Do what? Jesus is back in town. Are you serious? Where is he at? I'm not for sure yet, but I do know that he's back in town. And people would begin to talk about it. And finally somebody would figure out where he was, and people would take up their problems, and they would walk to Jesus, and wherever Jesus was, they were getting healed. They were getting transformed. They were having demons cast out of them. Their lives were being changed. Issues that they thought were dead, amen, that there was no promise, no hope to, amen, was being resurrected. Promises that were dead, dead daughters, amen, Jesus was resurrecting them. The things that they felt were gone forever, amen, Jesus said, it's not gone forever, I'll take care of it. And it was all because he came back again and again. And somebody may have missed him the first time but caught him the second time. Somebody may have missed him the third time but caught him the fourth time. Somebody may have missed him a sixth time but was able to catch him a seventh time. But the fact of the matter is that he kept coming back again and again. Why? He saw the needs that was in Capernaum. His heart bled for the people that were in Capernaum. He made it his hometown. He had need, amen, to go back unto Capernaum, and to the point that he would look and he would say, Capernaum, if you only knew, Capernaum, if you would have only responded to the many, many opportunities that I gave you. There's not a soul here in this city that would be living with an issue today if you would have just submitted and found me. I would have touched and healed you all. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let me bring it to a close here this morning. Praise the Lord. I just want you to know that we're not in Capernaum anymore. We're not living in the Bible days anymore. We're not living in the life and times of Jesus anymore. But some things don't change. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at one time. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to read about a story that was in Capernaum and sit down and hang my head and said, oh, if I would have only lived in those times, I could have been healed of my issues. I could have had promises resurrected. I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever he done at the beginning of time, he was able to do in Capernaum. And whatever he's done in Capernaum, he's able to do in Augusta. Amen. Whatever he did in the beginning, he was able to do in AD 30. And whatever he did in AD 30, he's able to do in 2025. There is nothing that God cannot do. Amen. There is nothing that he does not possess the ability to be able to overcome. And I've just come today to tell you that he's come back one more time. And he's given you another opportunity. I don't care what happened yesterday. I don't care what happened last night. I don't care what happened last year. I don't care what happened in your past. You're living in a new day where there's new mercies. And Jesus is in the house again this morning. And you can have whatever you desire, whatever you need. There is a God that is in this place this morning. And he's come back to give you another chance. You may have missed it on Wednesday. You may have missed it last Sunday, but he's here again this Sunday. He's come back again, just as he went to Capernaum over and over and over. He's come back again today to help you and to give you another opportunity. Hallelujah. Let's just take some time and love him here today. Come on, you know he's given you multiple opportunities. You ought to take the most of this opportunity that's given to you today. And maybe God has touched you, and maybe God has helped you. And it's just simply time to give him thanks and to give him praise. Amen. Thank God that he's a God of another chance. Not just a second chance, but there's a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. I know that his spirit is not always going to strive with man. But while it does, I've got another opportunity. Oh, let's stand and love him here this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Help me pray here this morning. Peter would look at Jesus and he would say, how often should we as mankind, how often should we forgive somebody that would strike us? Seven times? And the Lord said, I'm going to tell you how often you should forgive somebody. Every day. 70 times 7. 490 times a day. He said, you ought to forgive. How much more mercy, compassion, and forgiveness does the Lord Jesus have? Do you think that he would require something out of us that he himself is not held accountable to? Do you think that Jesus would say, I want you to forgive somebody 490 times a day, but I'm only going to forgive you once, maybe twice? The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9 that if we confess our sins unto him, he is just and able to forgive us. He is faithful. The Bible said he is faithful to forgive us of all of our sins. And today you've got that opportunity today. Whatever's in that heart, and maybe nobody else knows about, whatever's in that heart that you're standing before the Lord now and you're looking at the Lord kind of like with Cain. Cain's looking at the Lord with his offering of vegetables from the ground, fruit and vegetables. He knew it wasn't right. But yet he was telling God, you're going to accept what I did. And God said, no, I'm not going to accept what you did. But I tell you what we will do. If you'll just do it right, I'll give you another chance. If you just do it right. I look at the people in Capernaum and I think to myself, you know why they went and told somebody? You know why they went and told the whole city? Because they had experienced a miracle. Their problem was gone. The man that was paralyzed and couldn't walk, he could walk. He walked right up to him and said, hey, you remember me? Yeah, something's changed about you. Oh, yeah. What happened? Jesus happened. Wow. You know your issue? Yeah. You think it's greater than mine? No. You and I ought to go see Jesus together. You think that he would help me and heal me? Look at me. Of course he'd help you and heal you. I also think about all those others that stood in the background and looked and watched the lame man jump to his feet, take up his bed and walk out. I think about those that was standing around the bed of Jairus' daughter. She was deceased. Jesus looked at her and picked her up by the hand and she rose up. Think about their issues that they keep hidden. You know why I know this? Because everybody has some kind of issue. You know why? Because it's life. It's life. Some people have financial issues. Some people have health issues. Some people have hurt issues. Bitterness issues. But just because we're human, we're going to have some kind of issue. But you know what? We've learned how to adapt. Oh, you know, my issue isn't that big. Why won't it leave you alone? Why does it keep confronting you, pressing you, bothering you on a daily basis, and you just keep pushing it down? Well, if I work harder, I'll get past this. If I take more vitamins, I'll get past this. If I just suppress it and put it in a closet somewhere, it'll go away. It hasn't gone away. You've had little touches here and there where you've experienced the power of God. You still got that one thing. You know, Bartimaeus, bring him here. The Bible said that Bartimaeus got up, he took off his blind man's cloak, threw it on the ground. He was still blind. And he came to Jesus blind, but without his blind man's cloak. You just keep coming back to Jesus with your hurt cloak. You keep coming back to Jesus with your issue cloak. It's that same issue. But you know what the mercies and the love of God is? He just keeps coming back to you. He just keeps coming back. How long have you gone? How long have you had this mentality, comfort in your life? How long have you had this mentality? You know what? If I would just try harder, it hasn't worked. If I just focus better, works for a few days. It just keeps coming back. Jesus just keeps coming back. He's here again this morning. And what did he say? He said, cast all of your cares upon me because I care for you. He said, take my yoke upon you. My burdens are light. What he's saying is, if you'll bring me your issue, I can take care of it. Wednesday, you walked out with your issue. Sunday, you may have walked out with your issue. This year, you walked out with your issue. You've grown comfortable. You've learned how to manage. Adapt. Jesus just comes back and said, look, I can take care of it, but don't expect me to come pry it out of your hands. But if you want, I'll take care of it. You miss the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance. You may be at chance 70. You may be at chance 490. But the beautiful thing is, you're here this morning, and there's another chance. Why? Because he's the God of another chance. Why? Because he loves you. He hasn't given up on you. You may be ashamed, embarrassed of everything that you've done, but yet here comes God again. Revelations 3. I'm still here at the door knocking. And if you'll open up unto me, I'll come unto you and we'll commune. I'll take care of it if you let me. That's what he wants to do right here in this service this morning. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take care of it. Amen. Maybe you're already up here this morning. Go ahead, give it to Jesus. Maybe you're not. You know why others didn't go tell Jesus? Because they still had an issue. You know, you could have total freedom. You could have total liberty if you bring that to Jesus. Would you come this morning? Amen. Come on, church. It's time to pray. Oh, it's time to talk to the Lord. I don't care what it is. You've tried everything else. There were times that we tried AA. It worked for a season, maybe. You tried Nicorette. You tried all of these other helps. Still there. But Jesus comes by. And Jesus says, if you'll bring it to me, I'll take care of it. And here you go this morning, November the 2nd, 2025. And the Lord steps into this little place, 1200 Henry, Augusta, Kansas. And here you are, and you think that you may be here by accident. No, I'm not here by accident. God specially puts us all in our place. And God comes down and visits with us. God said, I'm here. I want to give you another chance. You may have looked past. You may have went beyond. You may have passed up other chances. But I'm a God of another chance. And I'm here to give you another chance today. And would you surrender to God? Would you just start right there? Would you just start right there? And would you just say, God, I surrender everything to you. My life, I surrender it all to you. I give you my life. I give you my hopes. I give you my passions. I give you my dreams. I give everything to you, whatever it is, God. All that I am, all that I strive to be, hope to be, I give it all to you. All of my problems, I'm going to give them to you. I've tried to fix them. I've tried to get beyond them. I've tried to manage through them. I have tried to change. I purpose to do better. I purpose to be better. I purpose to walk differently. I purpose to live differently. I purpose to do differently. And oftentimes I come back. I got to make those same promises again. No, this time's going to be different. This time's going to be different. I'm going to do better this time. That didn't work, and now here I am again, God. God, this is beyond my abilities, beyond my mindset, beyond my feelings, my beliefs. God, I'm giving it to you. I can't fix it. I can't do it. I'm going to take you up on this opportunity. I'm going to take you up on this chance. Whatever it is, God, I surrender to you. Come on, that's the first step. If you'd surrender to God, surrender to God. God, lead me. God, guide me. God, direct me. God, help me. Come on, God will do it. God will do it.